You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and I pray that this is a lovely afternoon for you, and you have time to get online and listen to Radio Maria. And again, thanks again so much for being with me this afternoon, and I hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Let's begin with a prayer, and it's a lovely special prayer that I want to share with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord my God, be not far from me, O my God. Hasten to help me, for varied thoughts and great fears have risen up within me, afflicting my soul. How shall I escape them unharmed? How shall I dispel them? I will go before you, says the Lord, and will humble the great ones of earth. I will open the doors of the prison and will reveal to you hidden secrets. Do as you say, Lord, and let all evil thoughts fly from your face. This is my hope and my only comfort, to fly to you in all tribulation, to confide in you and to call on you from the depths of my heart, and to await patiently for your consolation. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, brothers and sisters, I wanted to tie up a couple of loose ends from the last broadcast, because I had talked about putting on the armor of God, and a couple of things I wanted to mention before I went on and talked about something else, but definitely was the belt of truth, and that's the believer's integrity. I didn't have the time, to be honest, but somehow I also forgot. Anyways, bear with me. A soldier in Paul's day had a leather girdle or a belt that he tightened about his waist to protect his loins and carry his weapons of warfare, such as a dagger or a sword. The belt also held his tunic together so it wouldn't be snagged. In Christian armor, it is the integrity that holds everything else together. If you do not have integrity in the big and small things of your life, you are going to lose the battle. Would people say that you are a woman or a man of integrity? If not, then you cannot win the battle. Then we have, my friends, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of a soldier was sometimes made of woven chain and used to cover the soldier's vital organs. For the Christian, the breastplate is actually righteousness. The enemy wants to attack you not only with lies, but also with impurity. He wants you to read filthy magazines, watch immoral movies, engage in all temptations of the flesh. The bottom line is that Satan wants to get into your heart and your mind. He is looking for a crack in your armor. And don't be fooled. Satan knows where the crack is. Is your heart pure before God? And if not, then you cannot win the battle. The shoes of peace. A Roman soldier would have hobnails on the sole, very much like football cleats. because when they were fighting, they needed solid footing from which to move. And unless you have a solid footing of peace, you can never make war. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? When Satan comes against your tranquility, he throws out stories and doubts and discouragement to cause you to stumble. So, do you have peace right now, my friends? If not, then you can't win the battle. The shield of faith. The Roman soldier's shield, measured approximately 2 by 4 feet, was made of wood, covered with leather. In that day, soldiers dipped arrows in oil, then lit them and shot them at the enemy. These shields were vital to protect the soldier from getting burned. Satan is going to fire flaming arrows of doubt at you and I. He wants to place subtle doubts in our minds about God and His truth. He knows a spark can ignite a big fire. We will need to feed our faith and to starve our doubts. Are there any seeds of doubt in your mind today, my friends? If there is, you can't win the battle. The helmet of salvation. A soldier used a helmet to protect his head because his head, if his head was wounded, he wouldn't be able to think. Every believer needs to have the mind of Christ under the control of Almighty God. When a person is saved for the first time, he has his right mind. A person without the Spirit of the Lord Jesus has a form of insanity. They do not operate with the mind that God made them to have. The most important thing for all of us to have at all times is an assurance of our salvation. The word, the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given to us as believers is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture, my friends, the Bible. Jesus modeled this so beautifully during his temptation in the wilderness. When the devil tried temptation after temptation against him, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. Jesus spoke the word of God to Satan. In Luke chapter 4, the first 13 verses, Jesus responded, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord God, only him you shall serve." And again, brought the scripture back into context. It has been said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." The sword of the Spirit works. So it's important to memorize scripture and use the word of God to defeat Satan's lies and attacks. The bottom line is, my friends, is that God has a plan for our lives. No matter where you are right this very moment that I'm speaking to you, He does have a plan for you, a good one, a real amazing one. The enemy has a plan for you too. We have to decide which voice are we going to listen to and who we're going to choose to follow each day. And chances are, if we don't make a real determined choice to follow God, well, we may eventually fall into the evil one's trap. God gives specific instructions in His Word. He gives us all we need to stand strong in this life. And yet all too often, we race through busy, full days, ill-equipped, unprepared, or just simply not aware of what we're up against or who the real enemy even is. If you're a believer living like salt and light in this dark world, you won't go for long without encountering obstacles and attacks. He'll hurl them straight in your direction. The battle is real, my dear friends. The battle is real and it's intense. So focusing here today, putting on His armor, staying alert, and praying that God will equip believers everywhere to stand strong. So the armor of God prayer. Dear God, We thank you that you hold the victory over sin and death in this world. We thank you that you came to set the captives free. We thank you for your redemptive work you've done in our lives. We thank you for freedom and the hope you bring. We hold your word of truth as weapon against the enemy's schemes and proclaim he does not have authority over our lives, for we being set free. Give us wisdom and discernment to recognize his traps and to stand strong against his work. Fill us fresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today we put on the full armor of God to guard our lives against attack. We put on the belt of truth to protect against lies and deception. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts from the temptations we battle. We put the gospel of peace on our feet so we're ready to take your light wherever you send us this day. We choose to walk in the peace and freedom of your Spirit and not be overcome with fear and anxious thoughts. We take up your shield of faith that will extinguish all the darts and threats hurled our way by the enemy. We believe in your power to protect us and choose to trust in you. We put on the helmet of salvation, which covers our minds and thoughts, reminding us that we are children of the day, forgiven, set free, saved by the grace of Christ Jesus. We take up the sword of the Spirit, your very word, the one offensive weapon given to us for battle, which has the power to demolish strongholds, alive, active, and sharper than any double-edged sword. We ask that you remind us to pray constantly for all believers. We ask for your help to stay alert in a dark world. We ask for your help to be salt and light, that we'd be loving and gracious, yet unyielding to sin. We ask for your help in remembering to put on your full armor every day, for you give us all that we need to stand firm in this world. Forgive us, God, for all the times we've been unprepared, too busy to care, or trying to fight and wrestle in our own strength. Thank you that we never fight alone, for you are constantly at work on our behalf, shielding, protecting, strengthening, exposing deeds of darkness, bringing to light what needs to be known, covering us from the cruel attacks we face even when we're unaware. We love you, Lord. We need you today. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. My friends, remembering this day, that the battle we face may be more than what is unseen, than what we see before us. And when we resist the enemy, God's word tells us he has to flee. Stand strong. You are never alone. He loves you. He fights for you. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22. Well, my friends, I think that's a great way to end the armor of God well, and I really wanted to talk about that. And the next thing, of course, we were talking about if the evil one is messing with your mind, you know, one of the things I went through the different points, and one of the points I wanted to mention was number 7, which would have been, is it really all worth it? Sometimes in life, we all face discouragement. We'll toil, we work hard, we give it our best, and after doing all that we do, we may not get the result we wanted. And after pouring our heart and soul into whatever we are doing, someone can make you feel so unappreciated or of little value or worth. In moments like these, Satan may whisper this thought, is it really worth this effort? If you dwell on this question too long, you may feel like packing everything up and just walking away. I want you to recognize that accomplishing God's purpose in this life will come with some bumps and bruises. There will be disappointments, betrayals, misunderstandings, and frustrations in the process, but stay in the fight. It won't be easy, but it is all worth it. There is no greater impact you will have or greater joy you will find than accomplishing God's will for your life. Whether that's in your family or in your career or in your ministry, there is no greater fulfillment. That is why he created you. And that is what Satan is trying to keep you from. Let these words encourage you. We are hard pressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. My dear friends, you can overcome Satan's schemes. The Bible encourages us to be aware of the devil's devices or schemes. The truth is, he has a plan and a strategy. There is no doubt about that. However, the truth also is that in Christ, you can win and overcome all of his schemes. When Satan attacks, and he will, then gear up, fight back, and remember two things. You are more than a conqueror, and the Holy Spirit, who is in you already, is greater than Satan, who is in the world. He doesn't want you to think like that, but that is the truth. That is true. He will attack, but by God's grace and strength, you will fight back and you will win. You know, brothers and sisters, I was waiting for test results. You can't imagine the torment that I experienced in waiting. It was incredible. The kinds of thoughts that ransacked my mind, and I consider myself striving towards holiness. I wouldn't say I'm a saint by any stretch of the mind, but definitely, brothers and sisters, devoted to our Blessed Mother, praying my rosary every day, several times a day sometimes, attending Mass, partaking in the Eucharist, partaking in the sacrament of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, I'm striving so hard, and I know you are too. We're striving towards holiness, to the prize of eternal life. And while we're on this earth, we are mortals. But through the grace of God, after everything was finished and the results were fine, and they were fine for a long time, only I didn't know. And I felt really bad on myself, and that was the evil one giving me that guilt. But I felt that why did I worry so much? Why did I put myself through that ringer, so to speak, of doubt, of fear, of anxiety? And it was like a moment to moment, day after day battle of trying to fight this. And yet God must have been sitting there and saying to me, Christina, what in the world are you doing? Why don't you just trust in me? You say you trust in me. Well, show me you trust in me. And I felt just terrible, you know? I felt terrible that why did I doubt God, but in a way I did. I doubted God. Like I held on to the problem. I didn't hand it over to God. I kept It was like a tug of war. Okay, Lord, you can have it. Well, maybe I should hold on to it. Well, Lord, you can have it, but maybe I... It was like this tug of war. I don't want you to go through what I went through. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And I remember talking to my parish priest, one of them, and he said, you know, Christina, that is your cross that you bear, and it's been something I've had since childhood. It's what I've lived with, and it's been with me. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling you this so that maybe you'll be stronger than me, that you'll be, that you won't be such a wimp like I've been. And I don't like to consider myself a wimp, because I love the Lord Jesus. I trust in him. I know my creator. I know he's my savior. Then why in the world would I not let go? And as I say, it was this tug of war, right? And I would do the surrender novena several times. And that's a beautiful novena, let me tell you. That's a beautiful novena. And I would recommend anybody, if you are having anxiety and worry, the surrender novena. If you're not sure what it is, just go onto Google and find it. You will find a beautiful, beautiful novena. Oh my gosh, such a beautiful novena. So brothers and sisters, definitely we have to put the armor of God. We have to remember that worship is so important. And even when you think that, you know, that there isn't any power in that, but there is. There's great power to be had in worship and reading scripture out loud, by the way. Saying your rosary, it's one of the biggest weapons we have against Satan is the rosary. He hates it with a passion. Carry one in your pocket, put one in your purse, walk wherever you go during the day, have a rosary with you. Just walk with your rosary. Just stick it in your pocket. And that's a beautiful thing to do and a sign of protection for yourself. So definitely... there is incredible power of worshiping, right? So whatever the issue in your life is, the key is to worship a holy God who created you and knows everything about you, right? He knows everything about you. So, and he brought you into this world for a reason. So if you want to see breakthroughs in your life and the lives of others, then it's time to enter into a deeper level of worship, both personally. And it is only as we ascend to the throne room in worship that we can descend back into the harvest field here on earth, praying and warring for victory in every area of life. When we come boldly to God's throne in worship, he gives us his plans and strategies for our lives here on earth. There is no way that we can walk in his peace, his power, and perfect plan without a lifestyle of worship. God wants us to rise up. He knows what he is doing here on earth. He can make sense of things that are happening and can show us the way through challenges. He can strengthen us in prayer, and he gives us keys during our seasons of worship that unlock the path before us and bring glory into our situations here on earth. It's really time to devote ourselves to a greater worship of the Lord, my friends. Worship changes lives and how we see our circumstances. It's an incredible blessing to see life from God's point of view instead of our own. Isn't that amazing, right? Living for many years, brothers and sisters, I can tell you that that is one of the biggest things I've learned, is that when you go through your life and you're looking at it through God's point of view instead of your own and asking God to help you with that, it looks a lot different, right? Because we are entering turbulent waters, we must lay hold of this reality so that each of us may stand firm, hold steady, and pray fervently as the days unfold before us. There is no storm that Jesus will not be able to conquer. If we worship him in the midst of resistance, we shall see his victory. He can break through any obstacle when we make worship our lifestyle. right? So there are many writers who share about their difficult times when they felt empty and paralyzed and depressed. And simple words, worship me. Just simply worship me. And when you do that, that's what we were created for. We were created to worship God. It's a state in which our soul finds true peace. We were created to worship God. But it must be a condition of the heart, a way of life, a pattern woven into the fabric of our being. Worship must be ongoing, that it's no longer even a decision that has to be made, because the decision has already been made. Worship must become a lifestyle. And when you make worship a lifestyle, it will determine in whose image you will be formed and what you become. Sometimes praise and worship will be the only thing you do in a situation. You will stand and praise God while the tornadoes of life whirl around you, and you will see God move on your behalf. And then you will understand the hidden power of praise. When you understand that concept, it will change your life. So, brothers and sisters, we all go through difficult times. God loves persevering worship. Do you find it easy to worship God when you're facing difficulty? Here I am. No matter what you're going through, God is with you every step of the way. Tell God what's troubling you. Tell him. Our soul does not always feel like praising God. As I praised him as an act of my will, my spirit began to awaken inside of me. As my soul began to line up with my proclamations, a flow of anointing began to be released. The oppressive cloud would lift, and the presence of God would come into my view. Are you overwhelmed by your circumstances and the troubles of life? Then praise and worship God. Praise and worship God with all your heart. Be radical and see the enemy flee. And as you press through the heaviness, a transformation will take place. You will begin to see the beauty and greatness of God. Your faith in God will rise up. Your spirit will begin to sing, but you must take the first step. Open your mouth and begin. He can turn any darkness into light. Brothers and sisters, my time is so much now. We've got less than a minute. But thank you. As I've always said to you, I enjoy bringing these broadcasts to you, to bring you encouragement, to bring you food for your life, to help you in the godly direction, to have you open up your heart to him. Remember, it doesn't matter where you are listening, where you are right now. It doesn't matter. God loves you. He made you for a reason. And you can fulfill your purpose by opening your heart and confessing to God. Doesn't matter the sins you've done. Doesn't matter how horrible those sins are. God has forgiven you. But go to him with a contrite heart. Yes, cry it out. And tell him how sorry you are, to forgive you, and to ask the Holy Spirit to take over your life. God be with you, my friends, and thank you so much for listening to me today here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single